In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon. A couple things to announce. One is that the Catholic Daughters in Santa Rosa, who helped us to form our daughters, wanted me to let you know that on November the 6th, I believe they're having a bingo. They only do it once a year, but they wanted me to let you know that if you want to be around on November the 6th, the first, I believe it's the first Sunday in November, to go and be with them. They'll be having that at that time. They'll be giving out some flyers to us soon to be able to talk about it as well. Also, if you could keep in prayer a few people who've told me that they can share the request with you about their sickness, one being the health of Mary Taylor. If you could pray for her health, it's a grandmother of young Carson Flynn family. If you could also pray for Fred Lopez, who's the brother of Gabriel and Mike Cantrell, a local man here, who've also passed away this past week. To pray for the blessed repose of their souls also. Remember to keep those as well. Our brother Bobby Lopez, who's asked for continued prayers, Augustine Lopez, as he is still recovering, God willing. And the last thing is, I need some help from you. I forgot to print out something for me to be able to get you to help gauge your response as to what's going on, but we need to have some classes here. We need to study the faith a little more. We need to prepare those who, even in adulthood, need to receive sacraments. And so, but also to make sure that all of us are on the same page with what the faith teaches. We need to know these things. And so since my time for you is only available 2 days a week, right? Two nights, anyway, a week. That means we're limited to those 2 days. And so I need to know from you which night is the best. Would it be sometime on Sunday, meaning here within the afternoon or in the evening, or on Monday after Mass to go over catechism so that we can know our faith, one, feel confident in teaching our faith, two, and thirdly, those of us who are not yet fully initiated in the faith, be baptism or confirmation or to catch up on anything else, might be all the more prepared for that. I'll give you as much of the time as I possibly can to be able to do so, going through what the Church indeed teaches. So I'm going to have something out for you next week to be able to do it. Hopefully, over the next couple of weeks, we can roll that out to be able to go forward with that. We need to know the faith, and there's nothing greater that I exist to do outside of actually giving the sacraments than to instructing you on what we believe so we can go forward together. Our Lord has some power for us in the Scripture, for he says, "The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power." Words taken from the Psalm response, Psalm 98, verse 2. "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Last year, 3 years ago, when we went over these readings, again, I spoke to you about the second reading, one of my favorite passages that I was given to memorize as a young boy. Trustworthy saying is there. Well, what do we have within our first reading? It's all about the man Naaman, the Syrian, who came all the way from afar seeking out a healing in body, and he got it washing in the water of the Jordan. But God didn't want to heal his body. God wanted to save his soul. So that's why he went back, worshiping not false gods, but the true God. We see in the gospel that our Lord does what? That he heals bodies at his own word. But he wasn't trying to heal bodies. He was wanting to save souls, which is why only one of them received that saving power within his soul giving thanks, and that one was set upon the right path of salvation. And so what does God want to do for you and I today? He wants to allow you and I to touch his saving power. I want you to know it's not far away or hidden away in time. It's very near to you. It's on your person. Sometimes it's at your fingertips. And how do we access that saving power of God? Let me tell you about a man. In fact, his image is right here on the anvil before you and I so that you can know that he is a real human being and looks like us. In fact, many of you probably look at him and you'd say, that looks exactly like my uncle, or my grandfather, maybe my dad. In 1980, there was, in the valley of Cuapa, Nicaragua, there was a poor, devout volunteer sacristan named Bernardo Martinez, just 50 years old. Since his boyhood, he always took care of the small local church in which he grew up. Since his boyhood, he would always do that, cleaning the church, making sure everything was set right, making sure that everything within the sacristy was set just so that when the priest came, it was all ready for him. Just like Gabriel does for us. And so, he did that all the way from his boyhood, even unto this right age. And he was just a man like anyone that you could expect growing up in a place like here in Fort Sumner, right there in Old Town. What did he do? After he finished his sacristan duties, cleaning up after the Mass, he would go and lead his only calf, his only animal, down to the river to wash, to bathe him. And after the calf bathed, he would take him back, put him over to the side, and then begin to gather berries that grew about on the bank of the river that was there. And then he would go about with his fishing pole and rod and go fishing there within the slough, going there to make sure that he had something to eat. He thought he had the best of all possible lives, just subsisting in this way, simply, and loving God as he did so. But his life was not without conflict, because no life is without conflict nor without suffering. His conflict was maybe like sometimes your conflict has been in former times in your life. It was with the church ladies. The church ladies were his source of conflict. He would often have little disagreements, little spats with them from time to time, particularly in March and April of 1980. He was passing by the church, and what did he notice? That the lights were left on. Lights were left on in the church. And he knew it wasn't him, and he's the only one else who would be there other than those church ladies. So he had a little bit of a disagreement with them, a little bit of castigation that he inflicted upon them. Let me give you what his own words were. He blamed them for this thing, and he said, quote, "I did so because of the cost of electricity. I wanted to tell them to be more careful with the lights because our little parish has so little money." Electricity was expensive then, just as sadly it's become recently now. Well, the night of April 15th, we think of April 15th as being a terrible day ourselves in our culture. But here on April 15th, something terrible happened again to this young man. It wasn't night, rather it was the afternoon. It was about 3 o'clock that hour there. And when Bernardo was walking by the church, he noticed again what? The lights were left on. Calming his rage at what has happened here, he went into the church and said, "I'm going to do something about it now." He unlocked the church doors, went in there, and discovered that the lights weren't on. But there was still a light emanating there, and where it was coming from was it happened to be there upon the statue of Our Lady. Now he says, what's it? What's going on now? Now do we have holes in the ceiling where the sun is shining through that I got to repair that as well? We're so poor as it is. But he examined the ceiling. There was nothing. Nothing shining through. Then he thought, well, maybe it was something of Our Lady. Maybe the beads of her rosary, the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, had phosphorescent lights upon it. Our phosphorescent beads, so they just glow in the dark. That wasn't the case. He realized that that the light was coming directly from the statue of Our Lady. What do you think he thought next? Our Lady is showing me a sign. It's a sign that I've been too harsh on these church ladies, that I shouldn't have let loose my rage upon them in this way. That's my problem. It's not their problem here. And Our Lady is seeking to correct me. And so he waited in the church until the 5 o'clock rosary was to begin. And before it could begin, he castigated himself this time, begged for their apologies profusely and saying, "It was not you. It was Our Lady wanting to show me that I need to work on some things in my life. And so please forgive me for this. Our Lady's statue was glowing, and that's why. That's why I needed to change something." That wasn't the end of his problems, though, because the church ladies continued to be church ladies. And what did that mean? That means that they shared everything that he shared with them, they shared with everybody else in that small little community, much smaller than our village here in Fort Sumner. And so he became a byword. He became somebody who would be mocked. They would talk about him as being the crazy one who sees visions that Our Lady shows up and shines for him. And so he was all the further laid low and humiliated in the culture. Well, it just so happened there. That happened on the 15th of April. Well, now it was May 8th. May 8th at this time, where he was walking through the place. Well, before then, I need to tell you that there was one person who believed him, that he actually was given a sign from Our Lady. It happened to be his local parish priest, because he was a prayerful priest. And he turned to him and said, "Bernardo, Our Lady may indeed be speaking to you and showing you something. So what you need to do is you need to pray. Pray and ask Our Lady what message it is that she actually wants to show you, because if she wishes to show you a message, she'll let you know. So continue in your prayers." And so he did. He followed in his prayers just like he did from his very youth. What did he pray? He prayed his daily rosary, as he always did with that intention. He prayed the three Hail Marys that he was instructed to do since his youth. Carson, do you pray the three Hail Marys when you get up in the morning? You do? What about before you go to sleep? Do you pray the three Hail Marys when you get up in the morning? Do you pray the three Hail Marys before you go to sleep? It's not just Father Burnaby that tells you to do so. This is from the saints. When you do so, you'll hear the voice of God. You'll hear the message of Our Lady. But he added one prayer to that. And that was a prayer that he ended every day there afterwards. And he asked Our Lady, if she had a message for him, to find somebody else to give that message, because he didn't think that he was worthy to give it or that anybody would listen to him. It was on May 8th, year just half a month later, that he returned home from fishing. He had just been doing all his chores. He had just had his fishing pole in hand, and he was headed home, and all of a sudden he saw a flash of lightning. And he looked up in the sky and said, "Oh no, it's about to rain," but the sky was totally blue, not a cloud in it. Still fearing that he would be caught out in the open, he quickened his pace, and all of a sudden a second flash of lightning. This one blinded him. And when his vision came to, what did he see before him? He saw an image of Our Lady. Let me tell you what he himself said. These are his words. He said, "I felt no fear. I was surprised. I thought that and said, what am I seeing? Could it be the same statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary that they brought to this place and placed here before me from the church?" He thought that they were trying to play a trick on him such that he would go off raving some more and have another cause to bring against him as the crazy Bernardo of the village. He continues on to say, "I thought that was a dream that I saw. So I rubbed my eyes, and when I removed my fingers from my eyes, I saw that she had a human skin, that her eyes moved, that she even blinked. Her hands were extended in this fashion, just like in the miraculous medal, which, by the way, I had never seen before that day, but later was shown to me, and I said, that's her. That's what she looked like. And so he continues on to say that, somewhat stammering, he said to her, he said, what is your name? And she answered me with the sweetest voice that I've ever heard a woman give in my life, not even with persons who speak softly. She answered me and said, mi nombre es María. My name is Mary. And at that he asked her, well, where do you come from? The woman responded, I came from heaven. I am the mother of Jesus. And hearing on that, he was shaken to his core and began to ask her, because he remembered what the priest had told her to ask Our Lady. He asked her, what do you want? What's your message? She said simply, I want the rosary to be prayed every day. Bernardo, seeming to have no fear, continued a dialogue with this miraculous, beautiful woman. He said, yes, we are praying it. The priest brought us the intentions from the parish of San Francisco so that we could unite ourselves to the intentions which they also pray there during this month. But Our Lady shook her head. She said, I don't want it prayed only during the month of May. I want it to be prayed permanently within the family, including all the children who are old enough to understand it, to be prayed at a particular set hour every day when there are no problems with the work at home. She said, the Lord does not like prayers that we make in a rush or mechanically. Because of that, she recommended praying the rosary with a reading of Bible citations that we put into practice, also the Word of God which we hear. This surprised Bernardo, because he was a very simple man. He didn't know anything, really, about the faith, just devout in his practice. He said, I didn't know that the rosary was biblical in any way, so he asked, dear lady, where in the Bible can these citations be found so that I can pray them? Like a good mother, like any good teacher, Our Lady turned to him smiling and told him, look for these within the Bible yourself, and then proceeded on with her message. She said to him, tell everybody to love each other, to fulfill your obligations, to make peace. She said, do not ask our Lord for peace in the world, because if you do not make peace yourselves, it does no good to ask for it. She said, you must renew the practice of the first five Saturdays devotion. Remember that you received many graces when all of you did this. Bernardo Martinez recalled of his own self that before the wars, they used to practice the faith very well. In that time, during the 70s and 60s, 70s and 80s, there was all sorts of conflict going on all throughout Latin America, much of it instigated by the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States, sadly. All the Sudanistas, all the bloodshed that was going on. And he remembered that during those days that they went to confession, they went to mass, everybody, in the entirety of the community, every first Saturday. But since the conflict and the bloodshed ended in that valley of Cuapa, they stopped these devout practices. And so she warned Bernardino these very urgently, saying, Nicaragua has much to suffer since the earthquake. And she is threatened at this time with even more suffering. She will continue to suffer if you don't change. She pled with him, pray. Pray, my son, the rosary for the entirety of the world. Tell believers and non-believers alike that the world is threatened by grave dangers. I ask you to plead with the Lord, as I plead with the Lord to appease his justice. But if you yourselves do not change, you will hasten the arrival of a third world war. Just a side note, Our Lady, when she appears here, she speaks very frequently of a third world war that needs to be averted and can only be done so by prayer. What does she say? Again, Bernardo, he asked Our Lady to find another messenger. She said, Lady, I don't want any more problems. I have already so many here within the church. Tell this to some other person. They'll listen to them. But she said to him calmly, no. Bernardo, because our Lord has selected you to give the message, you must give the message. Our Lady appeared to Bernardo Martinez four more times. Four more times she appeared to him. Here are just two of them. On May 16th, just 8 days later, Bernardo was avoiding Our Lady. Think of just like Juan Diego at Our Lady of Guadalupe. What was going on? What was going on here? He instead decided he would never go by that same way where he encountered Our Lady down to the river again. He would go a circuitous way differently so that she wouldn't be able to find him. So after 8 days, Our Lady decided she would catch up with him. So she met him upon the way, another flash of lightning. There she was, and she said to him, my son, why have you not made my message known to others? He confessed to Our Lady, it's because I'm afraid. It's because they already make fun of me. It's because they already ridicule me and make me the butt of every joke. I don't want to endure it anymore. Ask somebody else to do this. They'll listen to them. But Our Lady calmly said, do not be afraid. I am going to help you. Now go and tell the priest. He went ahead and did so. On July 8th, a number of months later, Our Lady showed herself to again, and this time gave him a vision of a bunch of men dressed in white who were devoutly praying the rosary. She said these words. She said, "These are the very first persons I taught my rosary to." We can believe that they were probably the original Dominicans, because St. Dominic handed his rosary to the Dominicans. Why did she give it to him? Do you remember? It's because she said, "You need to convert the world. You need to stop heresies. This is the weapon you will use, my rosary, to end all heresies. Pray this, and sinners will convert." It was during the time of that Protestant rebellion, which wrought havoc upon the world and the church during that time. That rosary crushed the heresy of the Albigensians, which is why you find none of them in existence today. He saw there, in that vision, how devoutly they prayed the rosary, that they had little meditations that they would do before each decade of the rosary and pause for moments of contemplation before leading into the next one. The peace that they had in praying the rosary, the devotion that they had, made such a strong impression upon Mr. Martinez that ever after that, he wished to pray the rosary just like them. Let me tell you about the last apparition, the last time Our Lady appeared to Bernardo Martinez. It happened on October 13th. What's special about October 13th? Do you know? Miss Flynn knows. October 13th is the last time that Our Lady appeared to the children in Fatima. That was the miracle of the sun. Listen to what happened here. On October 13th, 1980, in the Valley of Capua, there in Nicaragua, Bernardo was gathered with 50 people devoutly praying the rosary, and they sang the Salve Regina there afterwards. By the way, that's what I sang intentionally today as we came in, so that you would be familiar with what that hymn is. So after praying that same hymn, singing that hymn at 3 p.m. that day, while singing, everybody saw a large circle of light shining off many colors surrounding them and gathering in the center of them. By the way, that's very much like the miracle of the sun. Then what happened next? There was a flash of lightning, and again, Our Lady appeared there within their presence. Bernardo Martinez called out to Our Lady and said to her, "Blessed Virgin, show yourself. Show yourself so that all those who do not believe will finally give in to belief." And as he said that, Our Lady, who appeared as Our Lady of Fatima in all that vesture, from that moment transformed to look vested as Our Lady of Sorrows. And so she began to weep. That caused Bernardo to weep as well. And she said these words. She said, "It saddens me to see the hardness of those persons' hearts. But you will have to pray for them so that they will change. Pray the rosary. Meditate upon the mysteries. Listen to the word of God spoken to them. Love one another. Love each other. Forgive each other. Make peace. Do not ask for peace without you first making peace. Because if you do not make it, it does no good to ask for it." Again, she said many other things that she had said before, saying, "Fulfill your obligations. Put into practice the word of God. Seek always to praise and to please God. Serve your neighbors, as in that way you will please Jesus. They ask of me things that are unimportant, people do, when they pray. Ask instead for faith, in order to have the strength, so that each person may carry his own cross." She continued on to say, "The sufferings of this present world, they cannot be removed. That's just the way life is. There are problems that some have with their husbands, some that they have with their wives, some that they have with their children, some that they have with their brothers and their sisters. Talk, converse, so that problems will be resolved in peace. Do not turn to violence. Never turn to violence. Pray with faith in order that you will have the patience to endure the sufferings that come." She concluded saying, "You will no longer see me in this place." Hearing these words, Bernardo was struck with fear, and he begged, "Shout out to Mary, 'Do not leave us, Mother.'" Mary said, "My son, do not be grieved. I am with you all, even though you do not see me, because I am the mother. I am the mother of all sinners." She said, "Pray. Pray, my son, for all the world. Grave dangers threaten the world. But the mother, she never forgets her children, and I have not forgotten what you suffered. I am the mother of all you sinners. Invoke me with these words, saying, 'Holy Virgin, you are my mother, the mother of all of us sinners.'" A beautiful, simple invocation. Pray that. Turn to Our Lady and say, "Holy Virgin, you are my mother. You are the mother of all of us sinners." And after she said these words, she disappeared. It was 2 years later, in 1982, that the bishop reviewed all the happenings there in Cuapa, Nicaragua, there within that valley, and Bernardo Martinez, and approved them. Approved the message, saying they are truly supernatural in origin, and they are worthy of the full belief of all the faithful. So you and I can put our trust in what she says here. Bernardo himself continued to be just a regular old sacristan that was there after Our Lady appeared, but was all the more greatly persecuted among the people. The Sudanistas, who were the militant political group of the time, even sought him out to bribe him to say, "Well, tell everybody that Our Lady was dressed like we Sudanistas dress," so they could co-opt her message for their own evil political ends. When he refused, he endured even greater persecutions at the hands of others. In fact, they even paid women of the night to come and visit him in order to seek to seduce him into sexual sin. They failed, But the bishop, seeing how greatly he was being tested, wished to rescue him, and so spirited him away secretly into the seminary so that he could live out his days there. It was in 1995. Remember, he was 50 years old when all this happened. In 1995, when he was 64 years old, he ended up being ordained a priest. And 5 years later, in the year 2000, he passed away peacefully in the rest of God. Our scripture passage says what? It says, the Lord has revealed to the nations a saving power, Psalm 98. What did Our Lady ask for? She didn't ask for a statue to be erected in her honor. She didn't ask for a shrine or a church to be built. She didn't ask for any particular medal to be struck to commemorate this event. Our Lady didn't ask for people to make pilgrimage here to this valley that was there or to found a new religious order that would set the world on fire. Our Lady didn't ask Bernardo Martinez to take out the Sudanistas who were doing violence at that time, just like maybe we would see Antifa doing in various cities here within our world. What did Our Lady ask for? She merely asked for people to pray the rosary. That's it. She said, pray the rosary with your families. She said, invite even the young children who can understand even the littlest bit of what's going on to pray the rosary with you, and do so at a fixed time every day when nothing else will interrupt it. She said, pray the rosary devoutly. And this act would do what? It would avert war. It would make sure that a third world war would not come to pass. Praying the rosary would change everything within the souls of those who would pray the rosary devoutly. Our Lord says within the scriptures that he has revealed to the nations his saving power. What's going on right now? You can't turn on your TV or any form of media without hearing all these messages being bombarded that there's an election that's going to be taking place soon. We have wars. We have unrest. We have violent political uprisings going on everywhere. Some are talking about the fact that maybe we are already engaged within what is a third world war. We have huge electrical costs and gas costs, massive inflation, incompetence, and some, even like our own governor, want child murder enshrined within our laws, even up to the ninth month, to the very day of birth. Some are even pushing for it after birth. What did Our Lady come with a message? Her message was one to bring about peace. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, you will have no peace within the world. There will always be wars so long as abortion is on the books, so long as it's practiced within nations. Our Lady merely said, I want the rosary to be prayed every day. I don't want it to be prayed only during the month of May or October, that I want it to be prayed permanently within the family, including the children old enough to understand, to be prayed at a set hour when there are no problems with the work at home. I remember when I first came here to this parish, that every 12th of the month I was invited to somebody's house to pray the rosary. Why is that not happening now? Why is it something that's been forgotten, pushed aside? Why don't we pray the rosary together within our families? Why do we have problems and sufferings which we feel like we can't surmount? There's a reason why. She says, do not rush your prayers or make them mechanically, but rather meditate upon the mysteries. She says, come to Mass on the first five Saturdays. She says, pray, my son, the rosary for all the world, and if you don't change, you will hasten the arrival of a third world war. When you and I pray the rosary, what are we supposed to pray for? Are we supposed to pray for the problems of the husband or the wife, or of the children, or of our brothers? Our Lady says something else. Our Lady says to pray for faith, to ask for faith in order to have the strength so that each person can carry his own cross. But God doesn't want to remove suffering from our lives. That's the way life is. She says, pray for faith in order that you will have patience to endure the sufferings which God gives you. That's what we're to pray for. That's it. That's the message of Our Lady. It's just to pray the rosary if we want change within the world. It has no matter what goes on in any sort of ballot box anywhere within the world. If you want change, pray the rosary. It says the Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Particularly when you and I think that we don't matter. That the efforts that we make don't amount to anything, like we're just small, insignificant ones off in this little village which is here. What does it matter what I do now within my family? How could that have an effect on the world stage? I'm a nothing. That's what this man said. But Our Lady chose him because our Lord chose him. She gave these words to strengthen that humble man, just like she says them to you and I all the same. She says, I'm the mother of all of you sinners. Invoke me with these words. Simply say, Holy Virgin, you are my mother. You're the mother of all of us sinners. Invoke her like that. Mother, Holy Virgin, you are my mother. You're the mother of all of us who are sinners. Our Lord has indeed revealed his saving power to the nations. It's not something of long ago only happening in Scripture. It's not something which only happens to particular great persons within the world. Our Lord has revealed his saving power, and it's at your fingertips. It's on your nightstand. Oh, would that it were to be used. It's the rosary. The rosary is God's power given to you and I. Use it if you want to have access to that saving power within your family, within our nation, and our world. It's right there, always at our fingertips. Our Lady says, use it. Use it so that you do not lose the saving power of God. Our Lord and Our Lady desire us to be active in the aversion of wars. They also want us to be active in the ability to make it through the wars that go on within your own families. Where do we find the power to make it through? The patience to endure? When we ask for faith, and we receive it, particularly when we pray her rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.